give it up, yes, I'm ready. Thanks for listening to Story to Screen here at KPEO Radio. I'm your host, Eric, and we are rocking the film world with new filmmakers, new music professionals. Tune in every Tuesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll see you there.
We are rocking the film world with music. And tonight's special guest, we've got Carlene Thyssen. We also have filmmaker Imo Buck. If I'm saying his name incorrectly, I apologize. I've been working on it for a week, and I probably still didn't get it. I don't know if Imo's going to be able to join us tonight. I hope he is. I will talk about his work a little bit, even if he doesn't make it in. Super great guy. But right now, we've got Carlene here. That was her song that we were just listening to. Carlene, say hello to the world, and let us know a little bit about you.
Okay, I will. It's nice to meet everyone. And I'm a Woodstock child. And so I was at Woodstock in 1969, and almost everything about me some seems to hearken back there. And so, but mostly I went to Woodstock. I was a peace, love, and music hippie person. And then, like, when I got to be about 23, all of a sudden I thought, oh, it must be time to grow up now. And so I cut my hair and started wearing suits and finished my college degree. And, you know, and then I played occasionally. Well, I play in churches, but really occasionally in backyards and at parties and stuff like that. And then when I got older, I got married and moved to Florida, and not far from a community called Immokalee, which rhymes with broccoli, if in case you want to remember it. and I was volunteering singing music to little children. This whole thing kind of built on a philosophy I have, which is doing what comes easy and watching for signs. And so, you know, singing music to little children was easy for me because I sang and, you know, and I grew up singing and playing guitar and piano. And then I started singing at their church. And then I really got enamored with these people, which is basically an immigrant farm worker population. And I hope I'm not talking too much, but this is a sort of a continuum story.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And so anyway, I decided through a series of, there were all these God-centered events that happened. Like I came upon Immokalee because one night I was at a meditation group, and I was not happy with my independent consulting business world, which I was very successful at, but it became meaningless to me. And these people said, you sing and play the guitar, and you're like kids, why don't you find a place to sing for children? So that's how that was the God sign. And the next morning in the newspaper, the front page said, Guadalupe Family Center and Snyderman Shoes brings a busload of children into Naples, and they all the kids get free shoes, all the farm worker kids. And then, so that was how that one happened. And then there I was. I wanted to go back and finish my master's degree in medieval history, which I had started in Chicago. But when I got over to FIU in Miami, the research course I had signed up for was medieval history, but the professor said, I don't know how this happened, but it's been turned into a Latin American history class. And so they said, well, you can leave and, you know, go to different medieval history, but we're going to work on Latin American history. And I said, well, I know all these people out in this place called Immokalee, most of whom are from originally, or their ancestors were from Mexico, Guatemala, and Haiti. Could I write a paper about, like, the Catholic Church in that town? And they were very enthusiastic. And I ended up at Florida International University getting my master's degree in Latin American history when I was, I don't know what, 50, 51 or something. And then my heart, it's such a fun story, I think. But then my husband said, why don't you, my master's thesis was about the people of Immokalee. He said, why don't you turn that into a reader-friendly book? So I got, and this is a little bit of a long story, but I'm almost done because I realized this evening it ties what we were talking about tonight together in this very strange way. So in any case, I turned the thesis into a book, and the book was very popular. And then a friend of mine who makes documentaries read it. She said, we have to make a documentary out of this. But she said, but we need music. And I said, no, I can't write music. I don't know how to write music, but I'll find some. So I took 3 months to find music that would go with Immokalee's Fields of Hope. And at the end of that time, I just discouragedly sat down at the piano and just started plunking around with some chords. And I wrote the perfect song for that documentary called Take These Hands. And I don't know if I send that one to you even. It's one of my absolute best still. But what was cool about it and how it fits in with what we're talking about tonight is I was able to write that music for a documentary that I was part of making. So in that case, I actually ended up doing both parts of what the show is about.
Yeah, that is an amazing story. I love it. And you're right. It so wraps up everything that you know, our show is about is, you know, putting the music side together with the filmmaking side of things. There's so many people that generally are got a strong foothold in one side of it, and maybe they stumble a little onto the other, or you know, it's very rare that I find somebody who really has done a lot in both sides. So I'm always a little tickled and inspired by people that you know, can keep a foot in both sides. Cause it's they're very different and interesting and similar worlds at the same time. I think people forget a little bit about how similar they are because they feel so different. Love that song.
Oh, thank you. And the other time that has happened is more recently. Because after that, I started writing music, one of which I think is one of your favorites, Eric, Go Change the World.
Yes. That is my favorite song.
Ah, good.
That song is amazing. And we do have it because we are going to listen to that song tonight. That is one of my, when I met Carlene, it was, I think it was at a music festival first. I don't even remember. I meet so many people in so many strange circumstances that most of the time I forget how it really happens. But
it was probably the Peace, Love, and Music Festival.
I think that's what it was. Yeah, it was at Peace, Love, and Music. And I was filming the whole show that whole weekend. And I met so many incredible people, flute players and harp players. And I don't know, it was an incredible weekend. And Carlene was there. And I heard that song and I never left me. Like I carry that song around with me everywhere I go. I still think one of these days somebody should do it as like, I don't know, like a rock song. I would love to hear somebody rock out to that. I would love to hear someone rock out to that song.
That's a very cool thought.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, because it is very popular. I mean, with a lot of people, they say if they get down or they get whatever, they just turn that song on. You know?
Well, yeah. I mean, and the lyrics, your lyric, it was, you know, it's just, it's a brilliant song. The tune is is unforgettable. And the lyrics are just brilliant. That whole, just go start. Time matters. Start today. Start right now, right here. Just go change
right.
the world.
And age doesn't matter.
I was very, very brand new day. Yes. It's an amazing song. And I'm really happy to be able to share it with everybody on this show tonight. So that'll be exciting. The another thing that I've always found really interesting about you, is that you, pop around in you're a very intelligent, I found it fascinating how many things you had your hands in. So many artists, they pick a lane and they just kind of stand there in that lane and wait for opportunities to come to them. And one of the things I always appreciated and found interesting about you was that you were always getting involved in something. You know, there was a women's radio show I remember hearing at some point. There's
Women of Substance.
Yes. And ACMA or something. I remember you were always involved in something. And I always appreciated that about you too, that it seemed like, I don't know if those things give you substance to write or
an inspiration. Absolutely. Yeah. What those are is those are groups of people who make music and many of whom write music. And so if we get to know each other and we learn from each other it's a wonderful thing to be associated with those groups.
Absolutely. And you know, again, it's part of the object to this show. With Story to Screen, you know, we are doing it for WeAreStarfish.org, which is a 501c3 that goes to just help build community. Now, we're looking to build all kinds of communities. The first kind of community we want to build is for kids aging out of the foster care system.
We
want to be able to connect. I know, right? It's big, but it's big, but it's small at the same time because you want to be able to connect.
I can't imagine that. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Like you spent your whole life with people and then you're 18. And if you're lucky, you have a suitcase and you walk out the door.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we want to be able to connect them with people like you, people that write music and live life and have had, you know, some amazing experiences. There's another song. It's another song of yours that I can't place the title right now, but I remember having a conversation with you that I still, to this day, I want to make a movie out of one of your songs. I won't give away too much of it, but It had something to do about your Woodstock experience that I found absolutely
fascinating. Oh, Back There Again. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's called Back There Again. And I may have sent you that. I don't remember. That's one of my favorite
I think
songs.
So. Yeah, yeah, I do think we have that one that we're going to be playing tonight as well. So lots of good stuff coming up in the show. And
may I make one more comment? The last song that we just heard, on the road home, one of the things that these groups of, you know, professionals have given me is a sense of confidence. And on the road home, I wrote that because two photography, videographer friends of mine were making a mini documentary of Immokalee. And called The Roads of Immokalee. And they said, can you write a song for it? And I could.
Yes, you could.
You know?
Yes, you could.
And I love that song. It's one of my favorite songs.
Funny story about Immokalee. When I first got to Florida, it was the first street that I really remember seeing. And I knew a little bit about Florida. I knew it had a rich indigenous history. And so I imagined, you know, having been like a linguistics major and an English major and stuff in college, I believe that I understand language pretty well. And so when I pull into Florida and I see the road, Immokalee Road,
oh, yeah,
looking at it. And I'm staring at it, trying to figure out how to say it because I'm trying to tell somebody where I am. So I keep looking at it and I start thinking to myself, okay, well, think about language and how language works and the pronunciation of general letters and most in common, you know, languages and how you enunciate and pronounce and, you know, syllabic interpretations and all of that kind of stuff. And I'm looking at it and I'm going, okay, so it's probably something along like, I'm a collie. Because, you know, the syllabic, you know, stops should be here and because it should be, you know, probably based on something indigenous. And so, yeah, I ended up with I'm a collie. So I'm talking and I'm telling the person, yeah, I'm like down on I'm a collie. And they're like, I'm sorry, where are you? And I'm like, you know, I'm a collie. And they're like, Collier County? And I'm like, no, I'm a collie. And they're like,
right.
That doesn't exist. And it was almost a full year before I realized that I'm a collie was Immokalee.
Yeah, the best thing anyone ever said to me, and I forget who it was, but they said rhymes with broccoli.
Yeah.
And as soon as I heard that, it's like, you don't forget it.
Now I get it. Yeah. And, you know, Immokalee is such an interesting area all of its own. And I know you have some really, really strong ties there. I know a lot of your... A lot of your work, a lot of your music, a lot of your experience.
My church.
Comes.
That's my church.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe this is a good time that Renee can throw on some more of your amazing music and we can go to listen to it and then come back and talk a little bit more about you and what you're doing.
Okay, that sounds fine. And Emo's not going to make it, you don't think?
I don't know. I've been messaging him, and we'll see how that goes.
Well, I'm interested to.
We'll talk about him too.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll talk about him too. And either way, I will tie you guys together.
That sounds great.
And we're listening to KPE or World Community Radio Story to Screen Show.
All right, son. Time to put out this campfire.
Dad, we learned about this in school.
Oh, did you now? Okay. What's first?
Smokey Bear said to...
First drown it with a bucket of water, then stir it with a shovel.
Wow, you sound just like him.
Then he said...
If it's still warm, then do it again.
Where can I learn all this?
It's all on SmokeyBear.com with other wildfire prevention tips, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Disciples to a place called Bethany. Welcome to the home of Martha and Mary. Mary joined the men to hear the Master speak. Martha thought about the food they'd need. Mary sat at Jesus' feet, waiting for each word. Martha knew just what he'd need. She kept on with her work. Help me find a way to be a perfect blend of Mary's heart and Martha's hands. Martha told the Lord, it doesn't seem quite fair. I'm doing all this work while Mary listens there. Though I long to hear your voice, he said Mary made the better choice. Mary sat at Jesus' feet, waiting for each word. Martha knew just what he'd need. She kept on with her work. Help me find a way to be a perfect blend of Mary's heart and Martha's hands. I turn off my alarm, lie still and pray. There's so much to get done. It's gonna be a busy day. Give me time to listen, time for working too, time for peace in everything I do. Mary said, kept on with her work. Help me find a way to be a perfect blend of Mary's heart and Martha's hands. Of Mary's heart and Martha's hands.
Carlene Fisson, we're here on KPEO World Community Radio, The Story to Screen. I'm Eric, and my filmmaker right now, he still has not been able to get through. His name is Imo Buck, and you know, I definitely want to encourage you guys to all take a look at him. He's a Christian filmmaker, a dancer, just another really talented person. You can find him on Instagram, you can find him on Facebook, and all the social media outlets. He's regularly doing just Christian content every day. Every day I feel like I see him put up a new poster, a new trailer, a new just piece of content. And it's all just very motivational, very uplifting, kind of like with, you know, Miss Thyssen here, our guest. The music that she brings to the table regularly is all very... If it's not overtly spiritual, it just feels like a spiritual experience. So, Carlene, that last song that we were listening to, can you tell me the title again so I don't mess it up?
Mary's Heart and Martha's Hands.
Right, right. And so, you know, from my experience, almost every song has, you know, a story to it, and that one I'm sure does. Can you tell us a little bit about where that song came from?
Sure. Oh, yeah. It's a really actually popular Bible story about Jesus who goes with his disciples to a town where it's not quite defined, but I think he's cousins with Mary and Martha, who live in this town called Bethany. And so he shows up there with his disciples, and Martha starts cooking and cleaning and making sure that all these guys are going to be comfortable, probably to sleep overnight, you know. And Jesus sits outside with the disciples, and he starts preaching and telling his, you know, amazing Bible stories. And Mary sits there and listens. And Martha's like, yeah, okay, I'd rather be listening to you, but somebody's got to cook the food, right? So this priest, Father Pio out in Immokalee, gave a sermon about that one time, and he said, wouldn't it be great if we could be a blend of Mary's heart? Mary's heart wanted to sit by Jesus, right, and listen, and Martha wanted to make sure that Jesus was okay. So she was using her heart, her hands, rather.
Right.
But the interesting thing was Jesus went in and talked to Martha and said, hey, why are you upset? And Martha said, it's just not fair that Mary listens there while I have all this work to do. And Jesus says, no, Mary made the better choice because he wasn't going to be around forever. And so he was saying, right, but yet Martha was still thinking, I'm sure, what I would have been thinking, which is, yeah, but no, I got to cook dinner for these guys.
Yeah.
So the prayer, the song is actually a prayer. My co-writer, Martha Christian, defined it. And it just says, may I be a perfect blend of Mary's heart and Martha's hands.
Wow. That's big.
Yeah.
This is going to sound strange, I'm sure. And I mean it in the most complimentary way. So if it sounds strange, I apologize. But, you know, listening to that song, I almost feel like I'm watching you paint.
Oh.
You know, the imagery in that song is just so profound that I do. I just, it's like I can see you just painting a picture there with your words and your voice, and it's beautiful. So thank
That's
you.
That's a beautiful image. I love that image.
Well, and so yeah, I mean, you know, the whole reason I try really hard to look at the different people that I know and the different people that I run into and the different people that submit their music and their themselves. And I do try to pair people up with interesting combinations. Sometimes I go as far oppositional as you could go just because it's fun. And other times I go complimentary because it's interesting. And in this case, obviously, you know, there were a lot of similarities between you and Imo, and we'll do everything we can to connect you guys so that you have, you know, you have some experiences with each other beyond this show. And it would be really cool sometime in the future to have you come back on the show once you've actually been able to have some experiences with each other, because both of you, you know, just have so much to offer the world with your talent, your creations, and I look forward to the day that somehow, somewhere they kind of come together, because you guys just both have a lot to offer people in general, which is, again, just part of what this show is all about. People just...
That's true, right? Know, yeah, and it is possible. People, I watched several of his shorts and the trailer, you know, and he's good. He's a little darker than I write. Mm-hmm. But that could be for his history and where he lives. But when I was listening to a couple of them, I thought, wait, I can write music that goes behind that, you know, or that tells that story in the breaks of the production.
Yeah. Well, and that's, like, I mean, some of the stuff that I did want to kind of dig into a bit was the differences between you. You have a much, I don't know. Yeah, just kind of what you said. You have a little bit more
positive spin.
Yeah, we'll go that way with it.
That's how, you know, I see it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He does. I think he shines a light in dark places, and you know, you just are light.
I pretty much stay out of the dark. That's really interesting you said that. Seriously, because I've written one or two songs that went into those dark places. One was the COVID song. It's a really beautiful song, and I can't even stand to listen to it.
Oh, wow.
But it was called Steady As She Goes. And it was about the storm and this whole, you know, and I'll probably never do anything with that song, because for me, I don't like that dark place.
Right.
I just tend to keep it a little lighter. And I do the same thing with my music, like about immigration, which is Take These Hands is the first song. That's the song I wrote when my friend wanted to make a documentary based on Immokalee's Fields of Hope and the immigrant farm workers. And that song, I had a point there and I forget where I was going with it. I get complicated sentences going and then I go, wow, listen to you.
it's a very powerful song, no doubt.
Thank you. It is that. And Take These Hands touches people's hearts, but not in any kind of way. It's almost like they don't know what's happening. That's how I want to be. I want to get social justice messages across without ever being confronted by anyone. Yeah. So it's so subtle.
And that song definitely does that. It kind of massages the message where you know you've learned something. But it didn't really hurt learning it.
And
in fact, you kind of think, like, at the end of it, you're kind of like, I enjoyed that, but I'm pretty sure I learned something that was probably pretty terrible, but I enjoyed it.
right. Exactly.
Yeah. So that's one of the things I just love about art in general, whether it's dance or poetry or music or film or, you know, just, I just think all art is the art of storytelling, and And the stories that we're able to convey to people, and the way we choose to convey them, is just all, it's just always fascinating to me. So I love, that's one of the things I love about this show, is just being able to share all of that with people through all of the different stories that everybody has to tell about being who they are and sharing what they're sharing.
You definitely took
a lot of stuff, and you got this whole commercial side to you too. That's just fascinating. The shows that you do now, that you're literally, you know, I love your original content. And I'm always, that's always my first and foremost thing to do, is speak on what people can do original. But what a lot of people out there don't understand is, if people out there are not subscribing, following, and you know, your original content is where you make your money in the long run. But unfortunately, so many people just have a really, really difficult time getting anywhere with original music, which is why
absolutely.
They end up doing other things. Yeah, they do other things for music. They do cover shows. They do tribute shows. They do all this other stuff to pay the bills, so that they can do that stuff that's the stuff we really want, the original stuff. You know, this stuff that you've just been listening to, that's yours. It's your experiences, your storytelling, your sharing, you know, your life with us. But in order to make that happen, you have to go out and sell somebody else's life temporarily, so that you can function.
You do need to make money. We have these little situations like that. And if I were, you know, Joan Baez or you know, Joni Mitchell or somebody like Adele or whomever, people would be interested in the stories behind those songs, because they would be famous. But they're not. And that's the thing with, you know, singer-songwriters. It's pretty hard. There are not a lot of people that really get too far with it.
Because
it's costly to market, and, you know, breaking into different markets and stuff like that. It's difficult.
Well, I think it's a thing too with being Americans, is that, you know, a lot of times we don't want to pay attention to something unless everyone's paying attention to it. Then it's like, you know, I mean, I used to own a cafe in Michigan, and I would do a singer songwriter night once a month, because it was the hardest thing to do. It was so hard. It was so hard that what I would do is I would take three singer-songwriters, and I would bring them all together for the same show, because it was the only way I could fill the room long enough to make it worth.
It's
crazy to say it, but it's just true. And every time, I mean, I brought some outstanding talent to that cafe over and over again, but the only way I could afford to do it as a business owner was to bring three of them, so that all three of them had 10 to 15 people that were willing to come there and listen to them. And now all 10 or 15 of those people got a 50 person room. And now with a 50 person room, each person had 20 or 30 people that weren't used to listening to them. And it worked, but it was hard.
Right.
It was really hard. If I have a soapbox to stand on right here, it's for all those listeners out there. I'm not saying don't listen to your popular artist that you love so very much. Enjoy it. Pass it on to other people. But take some time to get to know some of these artists too, because these artists are the ones that, they are your Adele's in the making. They are your Johnny Mitchell's in the making. They are your, you know, these stories that they're telling are some really important, powerful stories that are just woven in their music and in their art.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. Absolutely.
There was a song that you did. I forgot the name again. Back there again.
Back there again.
Yes,
that's my autobiography.
Yes, and so again, I will not throw out a spoiler there. I'll just I'll just say it is an incredible story that one day I do hope to, if I don't get to film it, then I hope, you know, you find somebody that does.
I have the screenplay in my head.
Oh, I know you do. You and I had a conversation years ago about that, and
yeah.
I still have the man. I still have the man in my head. Since the day you told me that story, I had a man in my head, and I know what he looks like. I know how tall he is. I know.
Wow.
I know how he walks. I can see him.
Rusty. Yeah.
Yep. So we'll tickle everybody's fancy with that there's a man in this story that it's a very, very strong story.
It is, as a matter of fact.
Okay, Eric, let's go to break. You are listening to KPEO, World Community Radio, Story to Stream.
Hi, this is T. Lyles, and you are listening to KPEO.
Fringe leather jacket, a peace sign on a necklace, bell-bottom jeans covered with patches, a ticket to Woodstock, a guitar she named Alice. Precious reminders of candles and rain. She just wants to go back there. '71, the magic was over. Time to grow up and move on. She forgot all the dreams that drove her. Farewell, Angelina, you're gone. She cut her hair and got a career and lost herself for 30 odd years. Sometimes she remembers and sings old folk songs, and sometimes she longs for a fringe leather jacket, a peace sign on the necklace, bell-bottom jeans covered with patches, a ticket guitar she named Alice. Fading reminders of candles and rain. She just wants to go back there again. In a fringe leather jacket, a peace sign on a necklace, bell-bottom jeans covered with patches. She named Alice, with blessed reminders of candles and rain. She's found her way back there again. My goodness, and sorrow is a black dress I wear. I turn to you for forgiveness.
every time that you're still there. Wash away my tears like the spring rain, like the spring rain. Wash away my fears like the spring rain, like the spring rain. Through my own faults and selfish ways, I keep doing things I know I shouldn't do. Don't know who I am some days. Still you smile and call me back to you. Wash away my tears like the spring rain, like the spring rain. Wash away my fears like the spring rain. Send the rain, cover every sin, remind me that I cannot go back to where I've been. Wash away my tears like the spring rain, wash away my fears like the spring rain.
So once again, you know, we're here at KPEO Radio, Story to Screen, rocking the film world. I've got, you know, amazing people that come on this show. They have amazing stories to tell, amazing experiences, just things that have gone on in their lifetime. My guest tonight, I have Imo Buck, a filmmaker that from Nigeria. He has not been able to make it onto the show, but I don't want to exclude him because he does have some really incredible content. I really hope you guys go ahead and look him up, Instagram, Facebook, any of the good stuff. Find him on there. He's got some really incredible stuff, and hopefully we can get him back on here and maybe somewhere down the road and him and Carlene can find something to do together. Both just really talented people, but we did get Carlene on here tonight. And she's been, you know, just really sharing some wonderful stories. There's definitely one that I want to talk about because I do know that she is doing a show coming up here soon. And there's a couple of different kinds of shows that she does that, you know, I really think a lot of our listeners, our public, our audience are going to be really interested to know a couple of these kind of shows that you do, Carlene. So can you share a little bit about the two different shows that you do?
Sure. Yeah, the shows are really fun because I've done a lot of public speaking, so they're not just music. I have PowerPoint presentations of the histories of Judy Collins, Joni Mitchell, and Joan Baez, like comparative history, like who were their lovers and who was this. And with each one, I sing some of their songs. So I'll tell a little story about whatever, and then I'll play Judy Collins's My Father on the piano. And when we get to Joni Mitchell, I'll play, you know, Pay Paradise, Put on a Parking Lot, right? By Joni Mitchell.
Yeah.
And then different, you know, the whole show, it's like a historical musical journey. And the other one is Woodstock Memories, where, and I was at the original Woodstock, and I actually have a lot of memories, and I share them then again with the PowerPoints and pictures and the thoughts in between each thing. So each of those shows is about 2 hours long, and and about half music, half talking, and they're very well received. So I'm anxious and I'm excited about doing the next one, which we're going to have here where I live in a community called Naples Estates in Naples, Florida. And the public is invited and it's free. So it's going to be on,
right on.
I keep saying July. It's November
29th. Yeah.
the Wednesday after Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Right on. And you're able to do these shows. You're able to do these shows pretty much anywhere, correct? I mean, you could do them in libraries, you could do them in stadiums, you could do them in classrooms, obviously, as well.
I have done them in all of those three except for stadiums. And one of the things I'm excited about is I'm making a sort of a half move to the Northeast, back to the Northeast where I was raised. And I'm not going to be too far from the town of Woodstock, which is not where this festival is held, but Woodstock has a Woodstock Theater. So one of the reasons that I asked you, Eric, to make me a promotional video of the show is so I can take it up there and say, hey, here's what this is. And then I'll get local musicians to play with me.
Amazing.
It's exciting.
That would be fabulous. Yeah, no, that would be fabulous. I hope to make it up there to see it.
Oh, wouldn't that? I will certainly be posting about it, that's for sure.
Right, right. Yeah, that'd be fun. I mean, you know, this has all been just, you know, a really, really wonderful recap. You know, Carlene and I have known each other for years, and, you know, we were sharing a little bit of our feelings about Woodstock and our thoughts about Woodstock and, you know, just the experiences that people have along the way and the way we choose to share those experiences with each other. You know, that's a lot of what this show is all about, just being able to take a little bit of time once a week and talk through some interesting things. I didn't get to live through Woodstock. I didn't get to appreciate Woodstock while it was happening. I didn't get to be there for any of it. It just wasn't part of my generational experience. Would have liked to. I know there were some Woodstock reunion type things. I passed on them because I don't know. I just felt like I didn't get to see the real thing, so I didn't want to go see the recap of it.
You do want to go to see the Bethel Music and Art Center, though, and that's the original Woodstock site. The energy of Woodstock in '69 is still there. It like hangs over the property. It's amazing. I mean, really, and
that's
you
incredible.
Especially would definitely feel it.
Well, I might have to just add that to my book of things to do.
I think
my book gets a little longer every day.
10 miles away, so we'll have to be.
Okay. Yeah, I'll come visit you. I'll call you from there, and we can meet up, and maybe you can tell me a few stories about, you know, being around then when all of it was really happening.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Well, that's, you know, Go Change the World, man. I mean, that song, like I said in the beginning here, I just think, you know, Woodstock was probably one of the most definitive moments in all of human history that was a Go Change the World moment. There's probably a lot of people that would argue with me about it. But I do. I think it was one of those moments in time that... I hope they teach it, you know, hundreds of thousands of years from now when they go, hey, look what they did here in this spot. Because it was really a pivotal moment in you know, who we are and the choices that we had and the choices that we were making. And
the music came from it.
Yeah.
You know, the energy,
and
everything
your song,
about it was wonderful.
Your song Go Change the World, definitely for me at least, you know, as a person who didn't get to appreciate Woodstock, your song Go Change the World for me encapsulated what I think Woodstock would have been like for me. So
That's a great thing to say.
Yeah, so that you gave me a picture of something that I didn't get to have, so thank you.
You're welcome. Do we have time to play yet before we go?
Where did I go? What did I do? Did I get lost? Are you here too?
Use your eyes and your ears. How did you feel back in those years? Ooh, do I see her hair is gray? Could that be me some future day? When she speaks to me, what does she say? She says, go change the world, it's not too late. Age doesn't matter, it's a brand new day. Time matters, start today. I can't stay there, I live here, I'll find my way, that much is clear. See the truth, forget your age. This is our time, this is our stage. Who will know peace because you exist? Who will sleep easier because you live? Do what comes easy, use your gifts. Go change the world, it's not too late. Age doesn't matter, it's a brand new day. Time matters, start today. Where are we now? What can we do? Just watch for signs, then follow through. The garden blooms like back then. Lights in trees will glow again. If we just follow signs, we'll know the way. Age doesn't matter, it's a brand new day. Time matters, start today. It's not too late. Age doesn't matter, it's a brand new day. Time matters, start today.
Today. All right. Well, you know, I want to again. Oh yeah, yeah. We'll get the song in. Renee's a magic maker. So, again, this has been Story to Screen with KPEO Radio. I'm Eric. This is Carlene. We've had an amazing journey tonight talking about music and stories and film and...
Hi, this is Eric. Beginning October 3rd, join us every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Story to Screen, where we are rocking the film world. Catch the show each week live on KPEO World Community Radio in Toronto, Canada, Denver, Colorado, Real People Talk Radio in North Carolina, KYBN Mountain View, California, the UK, Ireland, and Scope Magazine out of Boston, Massachusetts, in support of WeAreStarfish.org, because each one matters.